Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Thousands of migrants from the Middle East are still stranded at the border between Poland and Belarus after the EU is refusing to let them enter its borders. Many of these migrants are Iraqi Kurds, with many saying they went to Belarus after buying packages from travel agencies, including a tourist visa, and traveled to the EU borders with Lithuania and Poland. And several media reports have already said these travel agencies have close connections with Belarusian authorities. This comes in the wake of the EU placing sanctions on Belarusian officials in August last year after they cracked down on mass protests, as well as May this year after Minsk forced a Ryanair flight to land just to arrest a dissident, Roman Protasevich. Belarus's President Alexander Lukashenko has threatened earlier this year that he would flood Western Europe with migrants and drugs if the EU sanctions were not lifted. He also warned that Belarus would shut down gas supply to Europe if the sanctions were not lifted this time. The European Union has accused President Lukashenko of using gangster methods to orchestrate the influx of migrants for political purposes and has recently imposed more sanctions. The presidents of Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania said on Monday that Belarus must be held accountable for human trafficking, while Polish President Andrzej Duda has accused Belarus for attacking its border. Dr. Jennifer Mathis is a senior lecturer in international politics at Aberystwyth University in Wales, and I spoke to her yesterday and she said the crisis could be related to Russia.
The situation has really got many layers to it. So the most immediate crisis that we've had has been this appearance at the border between Belarus and Poland predominantly of literally thousands of asylum seekers who've come mainly from the Middle East. And, you know, this is putting a lot of pressure, obviously, on the European Union and on Poland in particular. But layering on top of that has become the threat that Lukashenko has made even more recently, which is that he would restrict or shut off the flow of gas that's coming from Russia through pipelines that cross Belarusian territory into the EU. And of course, at a time when, you know, energy prices are high and likely to continue to be high for the foreseeable future, it's a really hot button to press for Lukashenko, and it's bound to get a very strong reaction from the EU.
Interesting. And how much of Europe's current energy, current gas supply comes through Belarus?
Well, at the moment, quite a lot of what the EU gets from Russia is coming from that pipeline from Belarus, which brings the oil from, or the gas rather, from Siberia right the way through. But of course, Russia is keen to develop a new pipeline, which will actually bypass that land route, go under the Baltic Sea. This is Nord Stream 2 we're talking about. And that has become quite controversial and very political. And so that's also bound up in some ways with all the sort of the crisis surrounding Belarus.
Could Russia be playing a political game here, forcing the EU to concede more on Nord Stream 2?
Well, that's a possibility. And, you know, this is always the question that we face when it comes to understanding and interpreting what Russia is doing in the world, in the sense that Russia has a track record of using the energy that it supplies for the countries as a political weapon. And we've seen that happen, you know, for the last 10 years or more. It tends to happen much more with countries that are part of the former Soviet Union. So it's done it with Ukraine, for example. It's currently doing this with Moldova. So it tends to be those kinds of countries, but nevertheless, the fact that Russia has done this before gives it a certain track record, makes other countries that rely upon Russia for their energy quite cautious. However, we don't have any actual kind of solid proof that Russia is behind Lukashenko's particular threats that he's making. I mean, Lukashenko is quite a character. He's a very kind of bombastic, grandiose kind of figure. And he's perfectly capable of doing and saying quite wild things without any sort of control from anybody else.
So reminds us of President Donald Trump.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, Lukashenko doesn't need to be Putin's puppet to be doing these things. But of course, Lukashenko is also very highly dependent upon Russia, both politically and economically, and very much so since the kind of domestic disruptions in his own country around the August 2020 presidential elections, because, you know, the opposition, which grew very strong during and after that election and actually claimed victory, was strongly supported by many Western countries, many parts of the international community, including the EU, which of course has placed sanctions on Belarus for its treatment of opposition figures and its human rights abuses. So, you know, these differences between Lukashenko and the EU over Belarusian domestic politics are really spilling over into the international sphere, because it has caused Lukashenko to grow much closer to Putin. You know, Russia is by default his ally now, and it's quite difficult for Lukashenko to make any kind of, you know, common cause with the EU at the present moment, because, you know, Lukashenko is not going to back down on the way that he's treating domestic opponents. And so, you know, by default, Russia is his ally. So it's quite a complicated geopolitical situation. You've got refugees, you've got oil and gas, you've got, you know, diplomacy, human rights, protests, all kinds of things are kind of wrapped up in this series of crises that we're seeing at the moment.
And recently, the EU has imposed new sanctions against those individuals and companies who are involved in transporting migrants into Minsk and towards the EU border. Do you think it will be effective in forcing Lukashenko to call off the troops?
I think it has been effective already up to a point. So we're already seeing some airlines, you know, stopping flying into Minsk. We're already seeing a little bit of a sense that this news is trickling back to asylum seekers and desperate people, you know, from the Middle East who are maybe reconsidering the idea that Minsk is going to be a good route into Europe. But nevertheless, you know, Lukashenko does have other mechanisms at his control in the shape of, you know, for example, Belarusian controlled airlines. So, you know, the state still has quite a lot of cards to play. So it's likely to make some difference, but it's not necessarily going to be enough to cause Lukashenko to reverse his policies and to sort of cut off or reverse this flow of refugees.
Right. Might go back on the present situation now, because the EU in the previous couple of years have faced several humanitarian or migrant crises, and well, they managed to pay other countries to handle the migrants for them. It can't really do this with Belarus, though, can it?
Well, it's a really interesting one because, of course, you know, back in sort of several years ago, the EU, as you say, did pay Turkey in particular to keep refugees from getting to Greece and to agree to bring them, to take them back who had managed to get to Greece. And so there is a sort of precedent here. It's interesting also that in 2015, 2016, Russia tried a similar ploy with Finland when it... shall we say, allowed or encouraged certain refugees to go to the Finnish border and cross over without having the appropriate sort of visas. And Russia and Finland reached a negotiated agreement to handle this sort of situation, which did not involve payment, but it involved a change in Finnish policy towards Russia. So again, you know, this is something which has been used as a lever before. Now, the EU is unlikely, I would say, to pay Belarus to reverse this situation. I think the situation with Turkey was different in that the Turkish government wasn't responsible for bringing hundreds of thousands of refugees into its territory and then trying to push them across the border. You know, Belarus is very definitely, we have the evidence, you know, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the Belarusian regime is responsible for bringing these refugees to Minsk, putting them on buses, taking them to the border, and, you know, pushing them across the border and helping them, stroke forcing them to try and cross the border. So it's clearly responsible. And it's unlikely the EU is going to agree to pay Lukashenko off to stop doing this. So I think, unfortunately, we're probably going to see a worsening of the humanitarian crisis, as there's a lot of pressure, you know, domestically in Poland against refugees, against migrants, And there's a lot of very sort of difficult and quite ugly political rhetoric going on concerning these refugees.
I was about to bring this situation up. Do you see this situation going to escalate to a more military level, into a situation that could involve NATO, into giving support to the Baltics and Poland?
Well, at the moment, the pressure is on the border with Poland. There are some refugees who are trying to come in through the Baltics as well, but it's the real concentration is on the border with Poland. I think NATO would do everything it could to avoid being involved militarily, because this would be a very difficult and dangerous situation, effectively to go to war against Belarus, and you know, with Russia strongly supporting Belarus, that's a recipe for disaster, really. So I think NATO would do everything in its power to avoid this and to try and you know, sort of decrease these tensions. But nevertheless, there is certainly a lot of talk, a lot of very worried talk in you know, NATO capitals about what will happen next, and will they get dragged into something, and will this all escalate? So it's certainly a very worrying and tense time.
And that was Dr. Jennifer Mathers from Aberystwyth University in Wales. I also talked to Professor Renata Miankowska-Nokiana from the University of Warsaw about how local politics in Poland is viewing the crisis. She said while there is consensus between the government and the opposition to condemn Belarus, the difference is on whether to accept migrants into Poland.
So recent developments mainly focus, I would say, on two things. So one of them is the actual situation there, and it seems that there are certain attacks, at least this is how it's presented by the Polish government, and also to some extent confirmed by Belarusian version. It's just that, of course, Belarusians present it in a different, from a different point of view, that there are about 100 of migrants on the Polish border near the center Kuśnica, and that they attack the Polish, so they were supposedly attacking the Polish guards and policemen, and about 100 people, at least this is how it's described. And the Polish, they use water mainly, but they are prepared even to use guns. So this is the actual situation. Of course, it's difficult to say what the reality there is, as the journalists are not allowed to observe all this, independent journalists. So we have just, let's say, the information from Belarusian propaganda and sources, which state that the poor migrants try to get to Poland, and the cruel Polish policemen trying to stop them. Well, the Polish side presents it all as the poor Polish policemen have to defend themselves from Lukashenko, who is using the migrants as tools. So these are the actual events. While speaking about the political aspect, today in the Polish Sejm, there was a legal act adopted of solidarity with of the parliament with the government's steps regarding the crisis on Belarusian border, Polish-Belarusian border. So, of course, it was mainly adopted by Law and Justice MPs, plus it was supported also by some representatives of the opposition, mainly from the Polish Peasants Party. So there was no consensus. It was not, you know, like really the whole opposition and the pro-governmental option that would support this point of view. It's that some representatives of the Polish opposition, they tried to propose their own legal act, which would be more in favor of migrants and which would more focus on also humanitarian aspects of this crisis. But of course, this was not even taken to the discussion in the parliament. So these were two things which happened today.
Right.
But of course, what happens also in the background, which is mainly, which is also interesting, the Polish government also doesn't really actively search for support from the European Union, like from Frontex, for example. Furthermore, the Polish Minister of Defense stated that this crisis might last for weeks, maybe months, hopefully not years. So this is, you know, like really, it's it seems that they really perceive this crisis as the lasting as long as Putin wants it. Some minor aspects, like as far as I remember, also there were discussions about this Article 4 of the North Atlantic Treaty, that there were consultations with Lithuania and Latvia on invoking it. So yeah, things are going on, but is it really all there to really solve the problem? I wouldn't be so sure. Actually, the Polish government still thinks probably that it may bring the political benefits to maintain, at least for some time, this situation.
Overseas experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.